Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. Now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
Welcome to Call to Freedom. Oh, what a wonderful day to be alive. It really, truly is. And I'm so grateful that you've joined me today. I hope you had a very peaceful and fun Memorial Day weekend. I know that so many of you probably went to the cemetery to honor your loved one who died. And I'm thankful that we have a day like that, that we can go to the cemeteries and the places where our loved ones have died and put flowers and remember them. If you have a loved one who doesn't know the Lord Jesus, it's so important that you make your daily prayer a salvation for your loved one. That's the number one. Not that, you know, they have a better relationship with you or they get off of the drugs or anything like that. The first thing you go to is, Father God, thank you that so-and-so, whoever it is, has a wonderful salvation and he believes in you, Lord Jesus. That's the prayer. Simple. It's the prayer. But if you do that on a daily basis, he will come to know the Lord Jesus. I remember I had a very rebellious aunt and I loved her, but wow, she was mean. And I prayed for her every day. I remember as a little girl, I just want her to know you, Lord Jesus. And I'll tell you, as she got older and she got mellower, she wasn't such a loudmouth and opinionated. She came to know the Lord Jesus. So the day that she died, I knew that she was in God's hands. It's a wonderful trust, but it's also a wonderful comfort. So we start each day with a simple prayer. Lord, lead the way. And then step out the door with a heart full of courage. That's right. Today I had to go across the town to get to a brand new business. And I was praying, Father God, thank you for directing me and leading me, because there's a lot of construction in Denver. And right there, I came upon it in just a half hour. I was so glad to do that. So I want you to know I'm praying with you. I appreciate all your heart cries and your prayer reports and praise reports. But when you do a prayer request to Call to Freedom, know that I am reading it and I am praying for you. Now, if you have an address on your computer that you'd like me to email you and pray with you, I sure can do that. Or you can call me at 1-866-917-7256. 877. 1-877-917-7256. Oh, excuse me. I had too long a weekend. I really did. You are blessed to dispense, for in him you live and move and have your being. And if you'd like to listen to Call to Freedom, you can go to freedomstreet.org and click on radio show. And you can also go to Spotify and type in Freedom ST Radio. Freedom ST Radio. That's one word, lowercase, and it will get you to our program as well. I know for some of you, this is a new change, and we don't like change a lot of times. And in my case, I want to be that kind of broad-minded person that I welcome the change and learning new things. I really do. I always want to be a student. As long as I live on this earth, I want to be learning, learning, learning. So I am right along with you. And I may not be coming to you live, but I have your best interest in mind. I want you to know that. So if you would like to contact me, you can go to Barbara@freedomstreet.org and email me. That's good all over. And then hello@freedomstreet.org. If you want to contact Kimberly, it's Kimberly@freedomstreet.org. Real simple, real easy to get to. God bless you. From the ACLJ, which I listen to them all the time, and you can hear them on KLZ, and that's the ACLJ, American Center for Law and Justice, at 10 o'clock on weekdays. You can listen to Jay and Jordan and all their interviews. They've got very interesting interviews. This is a little paragraph from ACLJ.org. The left will use government power, and if that fails, even violence, to silence Christians and pro-life voices. The left wants to empower government to control our rights. They want large government, and Trump is working to have less of a government. I know he's always in your face on the radio, on the television, but I want to tell you, he's got your best interest in mind. That's the dangerous path of Senator Tim Kaine. Remember this? Who endorsed claiming our rights don't come from God. Don't come from God. The moment we let government replace God as the source of our rights, every liberty hangs by a thread. And I'm going to be reading a little bit about a very serious topic in America. Across America, pro-life and Christian speech are under attack. A client was brutally assaulted outside a Colorado Planned Parenthood. Yes, right here. Another faces $5,000 in fines and possible criminal charges. While laws are criminalized and weaponized to suppress any Christian who exercises their freedom of speech, the ACLJ is on the front lines defending these voices everywhere to ensure they can act boldly. But we cannot do it alone. I know they can't do it. Your voice matters. The vile anti-American lies and anti-Semitic tropes of Representative Rashida Tlaib and Representative Ilhan Omar are beyond the pale and provide cover for Hamas and violent radicals on the left. They may have the freedom to say it, but that doesn't mean they shouldn't face consequences in Congress. Representative Omar promoted those celebrating the assassination of Charlie Kirk. And Kimberly and I were just honoring Charlie the other day on the program. And I really believe that God's justice is going to come upon those people if they don't repent. But it's vile, but right in line with her anti-Semitic rhetoric about Israel. She's also against Israel. It's time for her to be censored in Congress. And the ACLJ is working for you. That's what I love about it. And I've been supporting them since 1997. It's been an honor and a privilege to be supporting that organization. Our memory verse for this week. And we're going to have kind of a short week, but this week is from Psalm 19, verse 14. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And the message, I love Psalm 19, 14 in the message. This is just kind of the people's verbiage. Oh, God's word warns us of danger and directs us to hidden treasure. Otherwise, how will we find our way or know when we play the fool? Wow, I have done that. Clean the slate, God, so we can start the day fresh. That's right, every day fresh. This is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Keep me from stupid sins, from thinking I can take over your work. Then I can start this day sun-washed, scrubbed clean by the grime of sin, of the grime of sin. These are the words in my mouth. These are what I chew on and I pray on. And as I was just coming into the studio today, I was praying, Father God, I want Holy Spirit to be in control of every detail of my life. Every detail, every small little detail. And I pray that you will come to that place in your life where you give him the attention every moment of every day. Maybe not consciously, but you are allowing Holy Spirit to direct you. Accept them when I place them on the morning altar, O God. Accept all these words of my mouth, that they may be pure words and holy words. Remember what Philippians 4, verse 8 says, and think on these things. Paul is saying that peace that passes all understanding, it guards our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Then he goes on to say, think on these things, not the unholy, but the holy. Not the impure, but the pure. Not the false and the fake, but the truth. And he goes into a list of words and adjectives that we can use to change our minds. Change our minds. That's what I'm asking him to help me do. Change my minds that I can know that I am a child of the Most High God. And we know that through his word. We know that we're children of God. And here in Romans 8, verse 35, I love this, and I don't know if we repeated that last week, but I like it so well. We're just going to repeat it again. Who shall ever separate us from the love of Christ? Who shall ever separate you from the love of Christ? I don't care what kind of relationships you've had. I don't care what kind of sins you've committed. Christ is there for you. Jesus is there for you. He came and shed his blood because he wants to show you that he has forgiven your sins, past, present, and future. You got to believe that. That's by faith. So who shall ever separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? Just as it is written and forever remains written, in all these things we are more than conquerors and gain an overwhelming victory through him who loved us. So he loved us so much that he died for us. Who do you know has died for you? I don't know of any human being that would say, well, I'll take her place or I'll take his place and I'll die for them. There have been martyrs. I know there have been. But, oh, he is the one and only who's died for all of us. For I am convinced, and this is verse 38 of Romans 8, for I am convinced and continue to be convinced beyond any doubt that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities, and boy, those principalities are populated by evil spirits and principalities, nor things present and threatening, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the unlimited, unconditional love of God. We don't understand unconditional. No, all our love here on this earth is conditional. We love spaghetti. We love our dog. We love, and it's conditional. If they are good to me, then I will be good to them. God, that's an unconditional love from God. I love you no matter what. Oh, and that unlimited, unconditional love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. That's from Romans 8, 35 through 39. I have been listening to a interview by Kevin Sorbo, and the interview was with a professor, John Lennox. This is a man, a beautiful, humble man, who is very well-versed and an authority in debate about the creation of the world. And his movie, Ken Sorbo's movie, is called Standing Against the World. And I invite you to go there, Google Standing Against the World, because it's beautiful. I'm going to introduce him and this man and Kevin by reading 1 Corinthians 15. We're going to go there because we had just read this over the weekend, and it's such a beautiful ending to 1 Corinthians. I can't think of a better closing by Paul the Apostle than 1 Corinthians 15. And so let's get into it. And now we know that Christ has in fact been raised from the dead, and he became the first fruits, that is, the first to be resurrected with an incorruptible, immortal body, foreshadowing the resurrection of those who have fallen asleep in death. He's the first one, and now we anticipate the same thing with those who have gone before us, who are in their graves. And I thought this was so apropos to Memorial Day. Because those who have gone on before, we know that when the archangel sounds that trumpet and Jesus comes with a shout, they are going to come first out of the graves. So it is also by a man that the resurrection of the dead has come. Capital M. A man that the resurrection has come. From the dead has come. For just as in Adam all die, so also in Christ all will be made alive. So if your loved one that you honored this weekend was born again, he is ever with the Lord, fully alive. And as I said before, if you have loved ones that do not know the Lord Jesus, that is your assignment, to pray every day for salvation for that loved one. God will do it. Holy Spirit will do it. You just got to believe. Verse 23 of 1 Corinthians 15 says, Christ, the first fruits, died and rose again, fully alive. Then those who are Christ's own will be resurrected with incorruptible, immortal bodies at his coming. After that comes the end. The end of this history that we know, of this world that we know, when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has made inoperative and abolished every ruler and every authority and every power. We think there are some places on this earth that are so powerful. Oh, but folks, wait and see. It's going to be a climactic ending of history. For Christ must reign as king until he has put all his enemies under his feet. The last enemy to be abolished and put to an end is, do you know who the last enemy is? Death. Death. That's, some of us fear death. I do not fear death. But some of you out there fear death. You get shaky when you think of your mortality. But I'll tell you what, you live forever and ever with Jesus. For he, the Father, has put all things under in subjection under Christ's feet. And when he says all things have been put in subjection under Christ, some have believed that when they die, they will go to the grave. They don't believe Jesus. They say, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we may die, and if we die, we'll go to the grave, and that's it. But folks, they don't realize that inside that physical body, which will die, is an eternal spirit that will either reign with God or go to a place forever separated from God, a place called hell or Gehenna. Verse 33 of 1 Corinthians 15 says, do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals. Be sober-minded. Be sensible. Wake up from your spiritual stupor as you ought and stop sinning. For some of you have no knowledge of God. You are disgracefully ignorant of him and ignore his truths. I say this to your shame. Wake up. Wake up. Arise from the dead. Oh, and someone will say, how are the dead raised and with what kind of body will they come? Oh, you fools, every time you plant seed, you sow something that does not come to life, germinating, springing up, and growing unless it dies. It's got to die first. My dad used to have bins of seed, and that seed had to die in the ground, be cracked open before that plant came up through the earth. So God gives the seed that you sow. It's not the body. It's which it is going to become, but it's a bare seed that has to die. God gives it a body just as he has planned, and to each kind of a seed, a body of its own. A body of its own. You plant corn, and you don't expect beans or beets. You plant a seed that was from the corn, a corn seed, and it comes up corn. You plant a watermelon seed. It comes up watermelon. It doesn't come up cantaloupe or any of the other melons. It's watermelon. So I want you to know that for sure, because all flesh is not the same. Now, this is the crux of what the conversation between Ken Sorbo and John Lennox was all about. All flesh is not the same. There is one kind for humans and another for animals, another for birds and another for fish. As I was listening to this broadcast this last weekend, I realized that there has been such deception and twisting of the truth. And I'm so grateful for people like Kevin Sorbo that has given this movie to all of us for enjoyment, but also to make us aware of what's going on. And God bless John Lennox, who was just walking with him through the grounds of the college there. And he grew up reading and listening to C.S. Lewis. He read every book of C.S. Lewis. And if you've tried to read through some books of C.S. Lewis, oh, you understand that it is deep. In fact, Kimberly went through my library. I've got hundreds of books. She says, Mom, do you have any books by C.S. Lewis? And I said, Kimberly, he was such a deep man. I gave up reading two or three books, and I gave them away because she's into that. So there are our brothers and sisters who are into fantasy and into non-fictional, and there are some that are into fictional, and I enjoy a fictional story once in a while. There are others that are into the deeply intelligent things. So Professor Lennox was emphasizing that the greatest harm to this world was not Hitler. Boy, and that hit me right between the eyes. It was not Hitler. Do you know who it was? It was Darwin, who poisoned the minds of young people and teachers to the idea of the theory of evolution. He started it. He brought about such a tsunami of, well, that sounds logical, coming from animals, because we know that God created the animals before he created his precious creation of human beings. And I realize that sometimes the black and white, the facts, are not the truth. So he went on to say, in that theory, he made the pretext that man came from apes. This is Darwin's theory, theory of evolution. He made the pretext that man came from apes through evolution. Maybe that's why we see people living and acting like animals in our world. They believe what they're taught. They do. And what's taught over and over and over again in these liberal schools, that they came from apes or monkeys, and they act like it. They act like apes. They act like monkeys. And that is the farthest thing from the truth. When Paul said, all flesh is not the same, he meant that because God made the animals first and didn't bring them forth by evolution. No man. And then there was the beautiful creation of man on the sixth day, when he created man in his own image and likeness. God's image and likeness is not like the ape. It is not like the monkey. It is not an animal image and likeness. God's image is holy. So that's why we call Darwin the greatest blasphemer ever. Because he did. He blasphemed the name of God and the creation of man. Now, he also, God says there's one kind of human, another kind for animals, another for birds, and another for fish. And it's exactly what he was saying about when you plant a certain seed in the ground, like corn or wheat, it comes up that plant which you have designed it for. Now, when you plant a seed in a woman's womb, it's not going to come up in an ape or a monkey, okay? So, or Paul got this straight from the Lord, that all flesh is not the same. There is one kind of human, another kind for animal. And Genesis 1 tells us where we come from, and it's not from animals. Darwin is the greatest blasphemer in our history because he came against God's greatest creation, man. All flesh is not the same. There are humans who are created in God's image and likeness with spirit, soul, and body. And then there are animals which God created without a spirit and with a soul and body. Oh, friend, I want you to be excited about the future you have in Jesus Christ. I want you to know that he has something so absolutely extraordinary, it's going to blow your mind. Here's John singing Beyond the Sunset.
Beyond the sunset, O blissful morning, when with our Savior heaven is begun, earth's toiling ended, O glorious dawning, beyond the sunset, when day is done. Beyond the sunset, no clouds will gather, no storms will threaten, no fears annoy. O day of gladness, O day unending, beyond the sunset, eternal joy. Beyond the sunset, O glad reunion with our dear love. That fair homeland will know no parting, beyond the sunset forevermore.
I'm looking forward to that day when I see John Wells in heaven. I know he's there. I know he's there. And Darren Carmack, all those loved ones that we've had on this earth and enjoyed their presence and enjoyed their love and their joy and their peace. And that's how it will be with the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in decay, and I'm reading from 1 Corinthians 15, verse 43. The body is sown in decay, but will be raised in immortality. Don't ask me how God's going to do it. I don't know how he did creation in the first place. I don't know how he did that, but he did. He, by his, the word of his mouth, he created this universe, and man is just striving to get to the moon or striving to get to Mars. God did that in a split second. It didn't take eons and eons and eons. It did not at all. So we're sown in decay, but we're raised in immortality, and sown in humiliation, but raised in glorification. We are going to be like Jesus beyond the sunset. It is sown in weakness, but will be raised in power. If there is a physical body, there's also a spiritual body. For it is written, first, the first man, Adam, became a living soul. And the last Adam, that's Jesus Christ, became the life-giving spirit. It's wonderful to know that the first man, who was from the dust of the earth, the second man is Yahweh, who came out of the womb of a human woman. Out of the womb of a human woman. Why? God wanted to experience everything that every human being goes through. He wanted to be tempted as we are daily. That's how much he loves us. He wants to know how we are in pain, how we are comforted, how we are full of joy, what makes us happy, what makes us sad. Because when we are sad, he wants to know that. God, he has the emotions that we have. He gave us those emotions because he has those same emotions. Oh, and we're going to tell our brothers and sisters about the greatness of our God. I hope that you know that you have a witness. You have a testimony to give to your brothers and sisters, to your loved ones, to your immediate family. That God is so great and he loves you no matter what. He gave his life on the cross to tell you how much he loves you. So I'm going to talk more about this tomorrow. I was so interested in the stand against the world that I'm going to be further talking about that tomorrow. God bless you and keep you and take joy.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may email us at barbaracarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.